Hello and welcome to another interview in the series Coffee with Craig. Football fan, proud father, and writer of English tests, Gary has been teaching at the British Council for quite a few years. Here's the full, unedited version of the interview with Gary. Remember, you can see the edited video version of this interview and many more interviews on our Manson Inglés YouTube channel. We hope you enjoy this interview.
Let's see how mine comes out. But I'm not particularly good in front of a camera.
Well, I think you'll be fine. When did you start working here? Because as far as I know, it's been 6 years or something like that?
Six or seven now.
Six or seven.
I started at the German school teaching kids.
Saturday morning?
Uh-huh. And then nothing. And then I think a teacher left here and I got his slot as a substitute. And then this was Owen.
Right. Oh, okay.
Mm.
And
that's how long ago it was.
What were you doing before that?
Before that, I was also teaching. And I was a self-employed teacher, and I was teaching in companies, so doing company work, really.
Did you have your own? You had your own company?
Yes. Well, I didn't. Not exactly a company, but I worked for myself, and I was the only worker. I mean, I didn't employ anybody to teach. Yeah, but that was fun. I enjoyed that.
But it was off-site teaching. You went to their business.
I went to the companies. In-house teaching, nothing.
And how long did you do that for?
7 or 8 years as well.
In Valencia?
Yes. But then I thought, because of course circumstances change and everything changes, and I was offered just temporary Saturday mornings here. And since then, the work here has just grown and grown and grown. And there are also opportunities that I wouldn't have had just working by myself. You know, so I've become an examiner. I'm also writing tests, which I quite like.
So you don't do any off-site teaching on your own anymore?
Not really. I still have a few companies which phone me up, but I don't really have too much time for that now.
Do you miss the flexibility of putting your own schedule together and working the hours you want to?
Yes. Yes, you do. Here it's very structured. But of course, there you could work out exactly the timetable you wanted.
Yeah.
And just organise it with a company. And companies worked a very strange timetable sometimes.
So how long have you been in Valencia?
In Valencia, on and off for about 15 years.
Wow.
That's almost a long time
now. Almost
as long
as me. I think I've been here 17 years now.
But on and off, I did go back to England for a year and a half in that time, and then 3 months here, and then 4 months there.
Have you lived anywhere else in Spain?
I lived in Barcelona for 6 months. That's where I started off. I actually did my CELTA training there in International House in Barcelona.
So what brought you to Valencia?
My mum lived here, or lives here still.
I didn't know that. That's why I love doing these interviews, because I'll find out things that I just didn't know.
No, my mum's Spanish as well. So she spent, 40 years in England.
So have you always spoken Spanish? Did you speak Spanish at home?
Well, I'm not sure about speak Spanish. I've always had some contact with Spanish, but I wouldn't really say I spoke Spanish at home. But I do have cousins, and the only way I could communicate with them was in Spanish. Mm-hmm. So I did have an advantage. But I also studied it at school and at university. So
right.
I had a big advantage coming here.
Where were you born?
Ashford, Kent.
And did you grow up there?
Yes. I grew up in Ashford, then we moved to Folkestone.
Oh, by the sea.
By the sea, the Channel Tunnel.
Did you ever live in London?
Yes. And then I studied in London. But now all my family live in London or Valencia. So it's one or the other. We've all moved, in the end, my parents divorced. My father went to London and my mother came to Spain. And my brother lives in London now as well.
Do you get to see your brother often?
Yes, well, whenever I can. He comes out here at least twice a year, and I go back there at least twice a year as well.
Okay.
And we've got young children. And when you've got young children, you're inevitably brought together. So, yeah, so we do keep in touch a lot more, actually, now.
Okay, so you're quite happy here. It's not like you had to choose between London and Spain and maybe...
Yeah. Well, sometimes I think the grass is greener on the other side, you
it's
know?
Definitely greener in the UK.
And it's greener in the UK at the moment. But also, but teaching here in Spain is growing a lot. Mm-hmm. And some of the work I do now, I can do. I've started writing tests, so I can do that online now as well.
You've started, or you're designing writing tests?
Because
you've always been interested in, well, always, you've been interested in testing.
In testing and examining and all sorts of things.
So what are you doing online connected to involving testing?
Well, the British Council has brought out an exam, a level test, the APTIS.
They finally made their own level test.
It is a level test, yes.
It's about time.
It's designed on the ILA that we have, the level test that we have. And it's basically the same, it's the same format. But now, this is a more flexible, a more user-friendly test.
So you help design it?
So I write for it now.
Enjoying that?
I have become a fully fledged item writer. And do I enjoy it? Yes, it's very challenging. It's completely different.
So you presumably you do that at home when you're not here teaching?
Exactly. It's my byline. So I can do it at home, I can do it wherever.
Okay. And I know that you're married and you have a child.
Yes, a little son.
How does that work where you have to work at home? Do you set certain hours? That's your time when you're working at the computer and your son can't disturb you? How does that fit in domestically?
I'm quite lucky. I can do it in the mornings. So I don't teach in the mornings. So I take my son to school. Starts at 9 o'clock. And then back home and I can start writing. So it works out quite well. So it doesn't disturb me.
Good. What do you enjoy most about teaching?
What do I enjoy most? I think it's being in contact with people. I think it's the contact. I don't know whether it's just teaching or whether it's the transition of knowledge, the satisfaction of knowing that your parents, your students have made progress or not. I think that's another thing. I think it's coming into contact, but the satisfaction of students having made progress and having learned something. Mm-hmm. A nightmare when they don't. But
no, it's very rewarding.
In general, I think they do.
Do you prefer teaching lower levels or higher levels?
I don't.
Because you can see the progress more at lower levels.
It's easier to perceive progress at lower levels. Of course, you teach them three things and that they know those three things where they didn't know them before and they use them. It's very low-frequency language. High frequency. Mm-hmm. Higher levels, it's low frequency, and it's much harder to perceive the difference, which is why high-level students are frustrated or can be.
Because they don't see any noticeable
exactly,
difference
in
their English.
It's much harder to perceive, and it's exactly, do they notice it at the end of the course or not, is the factor you have. But nowadays, I teach high levels, advanced in proficiency, and I don't know how I got into that. I was press gang. But yes, I enjoy teaching it as well. I enjoy teaching higher levels because you come up with an awful lot of challenges, language, linguistic challenges. Mm-hmm. Also.
And you can build up a more of a rapport with your students if you can speak to them on a level of...
You can build up a rapport with students even at lower levels as well.
True.
And you can find out all sorts of things, and communication is
even
not
with basic language.
Exactly, even with basic language. So, yeah, I don't know. It is different. The dynamics change a lot.
So, Gary, what do you dislike about teaching?
What I dislike? I think what I most dislike really is having to teach for exams. I think being confined to passing or failing exams or, you know, preparing people for exams limits you to a point where it's all a lot of backwash teaching. So you're, you know, okay, we have this...
What do you mean by backwash teaching?
It's teaching to the exam. So we have this exam format, so we have to find strategies. You do a lot of strategy teaching. So finding the best way to approach certain activities and... you know, like training that skill rather than teaching language or training skills in which they can improve their strategy for. So I would like a course where you would teach language and
General English.
General English. Get to grips with language. Mm-hmm. But of course, you have to teach language for a purpose, for this, for that, for a context. That's fine. Every language is in context, but the context of the exam limits you, I think, and the formats of those limit you.
And it also limits you to activities. There are only some activities that lend themselves to exams.
Yes, exactly. Yes. You have to do a lot of exam practice, which is very repetitive. So I think that's probably the worst part.
Right. Mm. What's been your most memorable moment in the classroom? Do you have one? Something that sticks out?
Sticks out. I think we live in Valencia. Valencia football team is very, very popular. And when my son was born, one of the classes gave me a replica kit of the Valencia football team. And
what, small models of players?
No, not of the players, of the kit, the actual kit, the T-shirt and the shorts. And they gave me a T-shirt, the shorts and the socks of, you know, for a baby. So I thought that was so sweet. It was like nearly in tears. So I unwrapped it and had a look. Oh, it's a T-shirt.
Was that when your son was born?
Yes.
How old is he now?
Three now.
Three.
Time goes quickly.
Is he playing football yet?
No. No. This is he likes football. Every kid likes football. But I'm trying to keep him away from football at the moment.
Why?
Well, because football dominates everything. And they're only...
Especially in Valencia.
Yes, in Valencia and Spain. And I'm trying to broaden his culture, his sporting culture.
Thinking it will probably drift into football eventually anyway with his mates.
It's inevitable. And he'll talk about football and he'll play football and he'll go to football matches. Mm-hmm. But at the moment I'd like him to see other sports and other, you know, other areas of, you know, like sport.
What advice do you have, Gary, for Spanish speakers who want to learn English?
What advice do I have?
As he dropped his cookie on the floor.
There are lots of pieces of advice that you could give to Spanish speakers. At the moment, I think the way Spanish is taught in schools is very grammar-based. And really... to really learn a language well, you need to know the grammar, you need to know pronunciation, vocabulary, the fundamentals. But there is a case for actually studying language in context, studying language as it is in chunks, and forget about studying grammar to apply to or to do grammar tests. This is not very effective.
And how would
it
they
decontextualize?
How would they
language.
Do that? Can you give them something more practical? For example, go and look at films, listen to
films. I always find very, very useful is actually and interesting as well is taking small chunks of language, a song, a couple of paragraphs, three or four paragraphs, a magazine article, a newspaper article, and analyzing that, and saying, what is being said in the article or the song and how it's said, the grammar, the language that's being used in order to. And this is very useful, and you don't need to go to a school or an academy to do this. You can do this by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Also, sorry, but I think that's very useful, particularly with songs, because you could take it as a poem and analyse the word stress and analyse the rhyming vowel sounds, and then when you listen to the music,
absolutely,
it suddenly becomes alive.
Yes, and songs, you know, there is this thing that when you study grammar, it's just not a language, it's just to do a test. Nobody likes it, but everybody likes songs, and you can choose your songs as well. And it has that effective, you know, it is, you know, very relevant for them because they like it, and also it's very catchy. You know, songs repeat themselves, you can sing along with the song.
So it sounds like you're saying don't concentrate so much on grammar, but concentrate more on words in context and find original sources of English.
Exactly, yes. Put language has always a context. So you need to find that context. Mm-hmm. It's very important what they're saying, how they're saying it, in everything. Analysing more.
What do you do with your time when you're not teaching or spending with your family?
Oh, spending my time with my family is spending time with family. I don't know. I enjoy reading a lot. So I read all sorts of things. I also enjoy running. I go running a lot. When I'm not injured.
Did you play football?
I used to play football, but nowadays, you get to a certain age, you get injured. Everybody I used to play football with doesn't play anymore.
Because you get to
a certain age as well, and the youngsters sort of go vroom, 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 and overtake you, and they're faster and stronger and quicker, and then you start losing, and you don't like it.
I've been there. Can you talk a bit about what you hope to do in the future, Gary?
What I hope to do, apart from family-wise and being a good father and focusing on that, I'd like to, professionally, I'd like to follow a lot, actually writing tests. So specialising more and more in my area. Mm-hmm. I'd like to do that. So maybe, I don't know, I still enjoy teaching, but maybe in the future teach less and do maybe work online and write exams or maybe more examining.
And that would also lend itself to working at home, which would allow you to be around your family even if you're not actually with them, which would give you more flexibility in terms of spending time with your family.
Exactly, yeah. So spending time at home. Changing the dynamics of things, I think.
What makes you happy?
What makes me happy? My son makes me happy. My family make me happy. Very happy.
Good.
But just general satisfaction of teaching. Teaching makes me happy as well. Seeing progress, people passing exams.
What makes you sad?
Sad? Oh, I don't know. Lots of things make me sad. Nelson Mandela possibly dying will make me sad.
Is he dead yet?
I don't know.
He probably will be by the time this video goes online.
Could
unfortunately,
be, yeah.
But he's pretty bad way.
But lots of things make me sad as well. I don't know. The students, just the general crisis that we're in makes me sad. There's no expectations for people in the future make me sad. Oh, I don't know. All sorts of things.
Apart from perhaps Nelson Mandela, which famous person would you like to have dinner with or have a beer with?
Have a beer with. I don't know. There are lots of people. Maybe Alex Ferguson. He might be interesting. He's probably got a lot of stories to tell. He's been around a long time.
He has.
And he finally retired, so that would be interesting. Winston Churchill, Nelson Mandela. Winston Churchill would be interesting, I think, as well. Mm. Don't know why.
In an ideal world, what would your life be like?
In an ideal world, I don't know. My teaching would be perfect. My students would be perfect. No, I think the idea of perfection is completely dodgy. I don't know about an ideal student or ideal teaching, but much the same as it is now, I think. I do more or less what I like, and I have enough time, I think, and enough money to do more or less what I like. So I'm quite pleased about that.
If you could change something about your character, what would you change?
My character? I would change the way I get up every morning. I'm not a morning person.
You don't like getting up early?
I would love to be a morning person, but I'm very grumpy.
Me too. I hate getting up early.
Don't talk to me.
Until I've had that second cup of coffee.
Exactly.
Don't speak to me. The world doesn't exist.
Exactly. Well, I'm much the same.
What time do you usually get up?
8 o'clock.
Earlier now, we just learned that.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
Dress my kid, we have breakfast together, then I take him to school.
So how many hours sleep do you need to function reasonably well?
Six or seven at least. Seven, I think, would be all right, if I could.
If you had 6,000 euros to spend on yourself, what would you buy?
What would I buy? 6,000 euros? A trip to Australia. I don't know, I'd go travelling with it, I think.
Why Australia?
I've never been. There are lots of things to see, I don't know. I like diving, I could go to the Barrier Reef, I like nature, you could go to the Outback. I think it has a lot to offer. Well, it's a whole continent in one, I think.
My best friend lives in Sydney. He moved there with his family about 4 years ago, and he keeps inviting us, and I keep wanting to go, but it's expensive.
That's the chance. That's the opportunity.
No, I know.
And he could organise a trip for you.
He could, but I wouldn't want to stay too long with him.
No, Sydney.
A week, maybe?
Yeah.
4 or 5 days with him.
Yeah, it's a big country. You'd have to get flights around and travel well.
Yeah, maybe next year.
Take him up on the offer.
Yeah.
Aye, aye, aye.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
Cool. That was excellent. Apart from me dropping my cookie halfway.
That was, oh, I don't know.
That was good, Gary.
Was I not too formal?
No. No, you were fine.
Okay.
Well, we hope you enjoyed that interview with Gary, and thank you very much for listening. Please help us by writing a comment on iTunes for us so that more people can find our podcasts. And you can also write a comment or ask a question about this interview on our Facebook page at facebook.com/mencionengles. Or you can send us a tweet on Twitter at @mencionTwit. Bye for now.